to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
It is an honor and a joy to be here at Fundamental Baptist Church, and I've heard your pastor preach at several different locations, and Boate always feeds me. Every time I hear him preach, you got a good one, and I'm not saying that because he's behind me. That's one of the reasons, but that's not the only reason. But he is a good one, and I'm thankful to be able to be here and count it a great honor. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start there in verse 13. This passage of Scripture, church, gives us the crucial doctrine of the redeeming power that is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. In our text in verse 19, the Holy Ghost puts down there that we're not redeemed with gold and silver or by the tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." We're also told in the book of Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Blood is no doubt a must to the function of a body. You take away blood from a body, you've taken away function from that body. Blood is a must to for our mobility. It's a must to this body of believers. You take away blood from this body of believers, you've taken away life. We've experienced this at night when we get a really good night's sleep and our hands get caught up some different way, and we wake up about 2:30 in the morning and our arm feels lifeless and heavy. And if you're not careful, you'll beat yourself with it because it's lifeless. There's a lot of churches tonight, this morning, that are lifeless. You've got to be careful. They'll beat you to death with it because they've taken away the blood. They've pulled the blood out of their scriptures. They've taken the blood out of their songbooks. They've pulled away from the blood because it becomes offensive to people. The blood. And this morning, I don't mind being called a slaughterhouse religionist, because I believe this morning that it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem man back to himself. I'm preaching this morning on the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is no doubt that fountain of hope down through the ages that has brought people close to God and into the fold. I want to say this morning that it's special blood. The Holy Ghost puts a price tag on it in verse 19. He said, "But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." The word precious means valuable, costly, held in high regard. Nothing like the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, the blood of Jesus Christ is special blood. It's special because of its source. That is not ordinary blood that we see dribbling down the cross at Calvary. It's special blood because of whose it is. The source of that found is no doubt God's blood. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, "There, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Meaning God hath purchased the church with his own blood. It's special blood because of its source. It's God's blood. Jesus Christ was 100% man and 100% God. And he condescended from heaven into a virgin's womb. But that bypassing the bloodline of mankind. See, mankind's blood was tainted with sin. That day in the Garden of Eden when Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore plunging the entire human race into depravity. And therefore the Bible says, says that all men are sinners, but God's blood bypassed human's blood and was born of a virgin. Therefore, it's special blood this morning because of its source. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not special blood, not only because of its source, but because of its strength. In the Bible, I've read in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 62 through 66, where King Solomon wanted to offer a peace offering to God. And the Bible says that he offered up 120,000 oxen. That's 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Now, I'm a deer hunter. Do I got any deer hunters in the house? Amen. Thank God for deer hunting. I like to eat things that got parents. And I'll tell you, I'm a deer hunter. And when we shoot things, those deers and elk and bear, we get them hung up there in the garage or the pole barn. And I'll tell you, I've guesstimated there's about a gallon of blood. A little more, a little less. Don't come to me afterwards with all these numbers. But I would just say roughly a gallon of blood in a deer. Would you agree with that? Maybe a little more, but a little less. But let's just say a gallon of blood. And in this passage of Scripture, Solomon killed 22,000 oxen. 22,000 gallons of blood. If an oxen has a gallon of blood, then it probably more than that. Then it says he offered 120,000 sheep. That's 120,000 gallons of blood. We have over 145,000 gallons of blood. You talk about old time religion, buddy. It's a mess back in those days. But I'll tell you, the Bible says it was such a large sacrifice that they hollowed out the middle court and had to put all of that in because the brazen laver wouldn't hold it. 140 some thousand gallons of blood. And today, not one of all of that blood, 140,000 gallons of blood, couldn't save us, couldn't take away one sin. But the one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ, His blood, can take away a multitude of sins. It's special blood this morning because of its source, but it's also special because of its strength. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not only special blood, but it's shed blood. The Bible says that he laid down his life for the sheep. I'll tell you this morning, I'm glad that what he did at Calvary, he did on purpose. I've read there, I was in a restaurant with a Jew and a Gentile, like me, Gentile. And they were fighting back and forth about who killed Jesus. And I was eating my onion rings. It was getting good. That Jew would point him and said, "Hey, you guys nailed him to a cross and beat him up." And then he'd point back and say, "Well, you sold out and lied to him." I'd eat my onion rings. They looked at me and said, "Well, you're the preacher. What do you think?" I said, "Hey, buddy, nobody killed Jesus. He laid down his life. You can't kill life. He's the giver of life." I tell you, he laid down his life. What he did at Calvary, he did on purpose. It wasn't an ambulance on the way to an accident. God knew what he was coming to this earth to do. And he went up to Calvary's hill and he did it. It is shed blood. It was shed on purpose. It was shed with passion. The Bible says that Christ did things the right way. Everything that he did it with passion. He did it right. The blood began to flow there in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the Bible says, as he prayed to the Father, "Lord, let this cup." You say, "What cup, preacher?" The cup that had our sins in it. The cup that had our lying in it. That cup that had our evil thoughts in it. Was there poured in a cup and pushed to the lips of Jesus Christ. And there the Bible says he prayed, "Lord, let this cup, he who never knew what it was to lie, tasted our lies that day. He who never thought an evil thought, thought our evil thoughts that day." I'm telling you, it was shed with passion. And the Bible says he prayed. And the Bible says that sweat, great drops of blood begin to come through his pores. The medical field calls this hermatidosis. I did the best I could for a Michigan boy. A hermatidosis. It's when the person is under stress and their duct glands begin to pump under that stress. And they begin to get under such stress that the duct glands begin to pump at such a rapid rate that they produce blood. And that blood is pushed through the pores of the skin, which would normally be sweat, became blood. I'm telling you, the precious brow of our Lord began to pour out blood there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then the Bible said they led him to Pilate's hall. And there they blindfolded him and began to smote him on his face and began to say, "Prophesy, tell us which one of it would have hit you." And they busted the brow of our Lord Jesus Christ with their fists, and the blood trickled down that precious face. And then the Bible says they let him down there to Pilate, the whipping post. And I've read in those Bible helps where they take an old pillar like this longer and they'll bury it in the ground. And then they'll take two spikes and lay it in there. And they'll tie that prisoner down where his back is real good and tied over that post. And they'll take the cat of nine tails of nine leather straps and tie bone and glass and metal to those nine straps. And they'll lay it on that prisoner and drag it across his back. And the Bible says they
they dug furrows in the back of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood began to flow down there at the whipping post. And then the Bible says they took that old rugged cross and laid it on his shoulders, and he drug that cross as far up as he could, and the blood flowed down the quivering body of that precious Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this morning, it was shed with passion. The blood of Jesus Christ flowed with passion that day. And he didn't do it because of the sins that he had done. He done it for the sins of the world. Our sins was laid on him. He became sin who knew no sin. I'm saying it's shed blood. It's sanctifying blood this morning. I'm glad it is the blood of Christ that separates me from a lost and dying world. I'm all for long dresses that drag the ground. Say amen right there. I'm all for neckties that choke you. But I've got news for you, neighbor. I'm glad that when God sees me, he looks past the long necktie and the white shirts. He sees the precious blood of Jesus Christ, because it's the only thing that will get you entrance into heaven. I'd hate to face him by being just a Baptist. I'd hate to face him by just me being baptized. I'm glad that the blood has been applied to my heart. And when God looks down at Jeff Jones, he don't see my good works. Thank the Lord for that. He sees the blood. It's sanctifying blood this morning. It was the blood in Eden. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says God had to kill animals and clothe their nakedness. It was the blood in Eden. It was the blood in Egypt when God said, hey, the death angel's coming by, and if you don't put the blood upon the doorpost from that innocent lamb, he said, the death angel's going in there. I'll tell you, it was the blood in Eden. It was the blood in Egypt, and it'll be the blood in eternity that gets us entrance into heaven. I'm saying it's sanctifying blood. It's special blood. It is no doubt shed blood this morning. But before I go, I want to say this. His blood describes. You say, preacher, what's his blood describes? When you see the bloody cross of Calvary and that broken body, we see no doubt it describes his love. The Bible says in that John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world. I'm glad the Holy Ghost wrote that book, because he said the word so. God so loved the world. When they put an S-O on that, buddy, it really means something. It means this: he's crazy about us. God just loves us. I'm telling you this morning, you don't understand. He's crazy about us this morning. He's so madly in love with us that he wouldn't let us go to hell, but gave us his son that had his blood in it, and let man beat him until he was unrecognizable. It describes his love. I pastored those years, and I had people come into my study. That's what pastors are supposed to have, is a study. Amen. These guys that have offices, I'm not sure about, but studies are good. I had a study, and they'd come into my study, and they'd have their hands in their face. They'd say, preacher, my husband run out on me. My wife's left me. No one loves me. Or I'd have a teenager come in there and say, preacher, my parents don't understand. They're just not treating me the way they're supposed to be. You say, oh, doc, what'd you give them? What type of counsel did you give them? What type of wisdom? What kind of books did you read to give them wisdom? You say, what'd you do? I pointed them to a bloody cross and said, looky here, God loves you and no one else loves you. God loves you. Hey, I've got news for you this morning. You ain't got to like me. You ain't even got to care for me. I may not be your favorite, but there's one that sits in control of this universe that loved me enough to send his son to die for me. I'm saying this, it describes his love. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I'm saying his blood describes his love. It describes his limits. One of my favorite preachers, John the Baptist. He was waiting for me to say somebody else, but I like John the Baptist. He sat on the riverbank Jordan, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You ever think about that? The sin of the world. I mean, good night. I begin to think of how many sins Adolf Hitler committed. I mean, you think about how many sins Adolf Hitler committed from the time he was born all the way to the time he killed all those thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. Then I started to think about how many sins ISIS committed. I thought to myself, good night, they've already done a mess since we've seen them on the news, not considering all the stuff that they've done over the years. But then I got to thinking about how many sins I've committed. I mean, then I got, you know, but for those of us who brought more than a wheelbarrow full to the cross, I mean, it's just, I started thinking about all, he took it all on us. It describes his limits. When you look at the bloody cross, neighbor, he don't have limits. There is no sin in this room that the blood of Christ can't fix. There is no past that the blood of Christ can't fix. He don't have limits. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He said, and whosoever will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You can come, and no matter what you've got, you can come and get it under the fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood still lose all their guilty stains. I'm preaching about the blood tonight. This morning it describes his limits. He ain't got any. I'm glad the ground around the cross is level. Wicked sinners get saved to get under the fountain and get washed clean. It describes his love. It describes his limits. I tell you, not only does his blood describe, it delivers. I'm glad his blood delivers, aren't you? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins. You say, why'd you got to say it like that? You got a speech impediment? No. Most Baptists put an ED where the Holy Ghost put an ETH. The Bible says here, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we're living in sin. We're doing things that God doesn't like. He said, we're lying. We don't have fellowship. He said, but if we walk in the light, you know what the light does, don't you? I mean, just get lost in a Michigan cedar swamp without a flashlight. And then when the light comes on, you'll understand which direction to go. Can I get a witness there? I've been in plenty of them. And the old batteries start getting wore down. You got to hurry up and get to the road. Or you'd be running around in circles in there. But I'll tell you what light does. It puts direction on all those places that you're stumbling at. He said, if once the light comes and we walk in the light, he said this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us. ETH. I'm not an English major and I don't want to be. You know what that means, right? I don't want to be. But an ETH makes it present tense. An ED makes it past tense. I know Jesus paid for it all and all to him I owe. But that ETH means right now. Today, if I've got trouble, I've got sin in my life, I've got areas where God's not pleased with, he said if I get it under the fountain and confess it, he'll put it in that blood that's on the mercy seat and it'll be gone. And I can have fellowship. We had a lot of kids growing up, and I'm not sure if they were all ours or not, but they were at the table at supper time. And we'd come in from playing hard all day long, and I'd get running in there. I knew right where my spot was at the table. And I'll tell you, I was ready to get there and get me some spaghetti or goulash, amen? And I'll tell you, goulash, thank God for goulash. I'm trying to help some of them folks south of Mason-Dixon line, some goulash. But I got in there, and my mama would stop me and say, oh. She said, let me see them hands. And I'd go like that. She said, I'll get it back there and wash them things. I'd go back to that sink, get me some lava soap, get it all cleaned up. She'd say, there, let me see them. She'd say, go get to the table, and we'd have fellowship. See, a lot of Baptists, they put an ED on the end of that word cleansed, and they got a lot of dirty hands. Can I just stop and say this? There's more sinning going on than drinking, chewing, and smoking, and all that other stuff. There's a lot of sin. Gossip is sin. Backbiting is sin. Lying is sin. Having evil thoughts are sin. I wonder what would happen to Michigan if churches would just get back to getting their sins under the fountain and confessing them instead of burying them under the rugs and thinking they're not as bad. I'm telling you this morning, God gave us his blood so we could have fellowship. I'll tell you, boy, I'll tell you, there's sweet communion if you just get it under the blood. There's sweet communion this morning if you just get it under the blood. His blood delivers a clean conscience. Paul said it this way. Paul said, man, I want to say this. I slept like a baby last night. I mean, I'm telling you right now, we've been sleeping in big cities all across. And I was so glad to get to the UP. And till the parking lot light was on. I thought about shooting it out, but it was my first visit. But I tell you, I slept like a baby last night listening to the quietness. No sirens, no clouds, no screaming people, no sirens. It was beautiful. I loved it. Man, I slept like a baby, but that's not why I slept like a baby. I slept like a baby because before I bowed my head that night, I got things right with God. I said, Lord, I know I hadn't been anything. And don't look at me like that. I drive a 45-foot motor home through Atlanta, Georgia often. And I'm going to tell you, you drive through Atlanta, Georgia in a 45-foot motor home at a certain time of the day, if you could lose your salvation, I'd do it. And there are some things I got to get right during the daytime. There's things I got to get right with God because His blood cleanseth me from all sin. It delivers a clean conscience. There's a lot of Baptists that go home at night and put their head on their pillow and the devil reminds them of all how many mistakes they've got. How bad they are, especially during testimony time. Don't you love it when you go get ready to testify and the devil comes over there and says, yeah, go ahead and testify, big boy. You made a mess of yourself today. Go ahead and sing in the choir, honey. You made a mess of things. Don't you just like it when he does that? He does that to me. He does that to everybody. But I tell you, if you get it under the fountain, when he comes by and whispers that in your ears, you can tell him, yeah, I know I'm sorry. But me and Jesus got it all fixed up. I've already talked to him and you saw what he did. He forgave me. He said he would forgive me. I tell you, his blood delivers a clean conscience. Number two, whatever we're on, his blood delivers constrainment. Paul said it this way, the love of Christ constrains me. Constrained. Do you say much obliged up here? Not much. Not much. Appreciated? Appreciated is a word. I got to get in the culture. Don't you know, y'all. But how's that, huh? That's pretty good. I practiced that one for a while. Hey, his blood delivers constrainment. Constrainment is when someone does something nice for you, you want to return the favor. Constrainment. See, who in the world can stare at a bloody cross where someone was beaten and ridiculed because of what I've done? And he took the place. He took the punishment. Doesn't that make you want to do something for him? Paul said, "The love, I can't stare at the cross and not want to do something for somebody." The reason some people have a hard time getting to church and getting in line and doing things right is because their focus is on people. Well, bless God, I'm going to tell you right now, that preacher ain't telling me what to do. Well, I've got news for you, neighbor. If you stare at a bloody cross, just let him tell you what to do. You won't be able to help. I can't help it. If God tells me to be in church every day of the week, guess what I'm doing? Every day of the week, I'm coming to church. Why? Because I see a bloody cross. I see someone's back beaten and brow beaten. And I'll tell you, I just put my ear on the hole and say, drill it through. I'm your servant. Just do with you as you will. I'll tell you, when he paid the debt, neighbor, it makes me constrained. I can't look at the cross and tell God no. He owns me. I'm his. I got no qualms about it. The reason most folks have trouble is because they're staring at everything else except that cross. The book of Peter is written to suffering saints scattered throughout. Chapter 1 tells us that. And you know what he tells them, these scattering, suffering saints? They're dying by the groves. He doesn't tell them to buck up. He doesn't tell them to fight. He doesn't tell them to go dig tunnels and hide guns. You know what he does tell them? He said, stare at the cross. He said, I want to remind you of one thing. Jesus suffered for our sakes. He said, now get your backbone like a saw log and stare at the cross and let the world do what they will, but you follow me. And I'll tell you, down through the years, the Christians died at the stakes. They killed them. They cut their tongues out. And every one of them had that grace to stare at the cross. His blood delivers constrainment. His blood describes his love and it describes his limits. And last of all, his blood demands. When we see the blood this morning trickling down the brow of our Lord and the beaten back, it demands a response. Oh my. I mean, to think when someone sees that as clearly as the scripture portrays it, and yet they still hold on to their good works and their good deeds and their baptismal membership cards and all of their baptismal circuits. I'm telling you, Christ did not come so that you could work your way to heaven. He has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but you must have the blood applied. We are not redeemed with corruptible things or by the tradition of our fathers. It's with the precious blood of Christ. It demands a response, a sinner. I'll tell you, if I was here and I was lost, religious, there's not one religious bone in my body. Oh, no. I met somebody. 1847 Thumb Road, Gaylord, Michigan. I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I junked all of that hope so, think so, religious nonsense. I got me someone. He's my friend. His name is Jesus. And I'll tell you, sinner friend, That blood reaches out and calls out to you. Come. It calls out to you. Hey, it demands a response. Number two, it demands respect. I drive by church after church. Most nights I'm preaching. And I go by a church sign that says, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, worship hour. I wonder sometimes if it's really worship. Worship has everything to do about Him and nothing to do with us. It's all about Him. When I got up this morning, I bowed my knee and said, Lord, thank you for the blood. I want to thank you for the blood. I don't ever want a day go by not thanking for that great fountain that keeps me reconciled with Him. I wonder this morning, what is your response? Oh my, I've preached at large congregations of people and small congregations of people. I've seen all kinds of responses. I've watched people clean the dirt under their fingernails during the preaching. I've watched people make out grocery lists and play Clash of Clans through the whole thing. But this morning, I wonder what your response is. Someone took your lying and your sin and took every bit of that punishment. If the kids are going to come, I want you to sing that same song you sung, If It's Okay With Pastor. I'm going to give you a story. It helps me shut down. If I hear them kids sing, I'm just done. I know it's time for me to be quiet. I want to tell you a story. Demands a response. I read a story about an African general who was fighting a civil war there in Africa. And in that part of the world, they were fighting all the time in their country, civil war. And boy, I tell you, this general had a wife who was back home, and he'd never been home. He's always on battlefields during this war that they had. Boy, I tell you, she had it up to here with all this fighting. And in that part of the world, they have a custom where when a person who is in position, when they walk through the public square, people are to bow and tip their hats. Well, this general's wife, she just about had her belly full of the whole mess. And that day, that royalty come down the way, and she just stood there in defiance against them. And they caught her. They saw her. So they arrested her and took her before the judge. The judge said, ma'am, you know the rules. You know the sentence. You're going to die. So the public square, they built this platform up on the public square, put a chop block up there, dressed her in white. The general, he got word, he's fighting on the battlefield, got word that his wife was going to be killed. So he went back and stood before the king and pleaded for his wife. Don't kill my wife. Please, don't let her, just let her go. I'll talk to her. To no avail. Judge said, you know the rules, she's got to die. That day they marched her up there and put her down on the chop block. The townspeople begin to gather together. That general stood there in the front row looking at his wife laying there. That old boy pulled up that axe and began to get ready to take her head off. That general jumped out of that crowd and said, ripped open his shirt and said, for the sake of these wounds that I have suffered fighting for your kingdom, let her go. Let her go. I tell you, down there, that king looked down there, and all over that man's body were spear marks and sword marks where he had suffered injury fighting for that man's kingdom. That king looked down there and said, for the sake of that man's wounds, let her go. Let her go. And I'll tell you this morning, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who sits at the Father's right hand. And when I'm not everything I should be, and unfortunately that's true, when I trip and stumble and fall, I'm glad Jesus stands there and says, Father, for the sake of these wounds that I have suffered, for the sake of Jeff Jones, will you let him go? Would you let him go? And I'll tell you, he says, let him go. Let him go. I'm telling you this morning, it is nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us freedom to walk out here and not face the wrath of God. It demands a response. There ought not to be one hand left unraised, not one knee unbowed under the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone in this room should be ballistic over the fact that God gave his best for us. Because if it had not been for the blood, we'd all be going to hell.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.